Okay, I've got less than 36 tonight, but before I get into that, I want to go over a couple of things that we know. Isaac was married when he was 40 years old, that his daddy arranged the marriage. We know that. Well, Esau was also married at 40 years old, but Isaac didn't arrange the marriage. Wonder why? Well, at that time, the fathers didn't usually arrange the marriage for sons. They arranged the marriage for daughters. But Abraham wanted to make sure that Isaac had the right wife. And then we go on, something else is, you know, we kind of think about Jacob, you know, kind of a little romantic story. He was a young man, leaves home, and goes off and gets married. Well, really didn't happen that way. When Jacob left home, he was 77 years old. 77 years old. He didn't marry till he was 84 years old. And then he married Leah. She was about 20 years old. And Rachel was about 18 years old. And then we find out later on when Jacob and Esau meet in Canaan. You know, we think of these two guys meeting. Well, they were both 97 years old. You know, said they weren't going to do anything to each other. They had, you know, I guess their sidekicks were going to, you know, take care of everything. So that's just something I wanted to go over before that. I don't usually talk on the microphone, so I just wanted to get that in. Okay, in chapter 36, if you read chapter 36, all you read was a bunch of names. You know, and it probably doesn't, you know, mean a whole lot to you, and it didn't mean a whole lot to me either. But what it, I'll tell you what it's all about. Now, I notice in chapter 36, did anybody see the word God in chapter 36? I don't remember seeing it. Did anybody see the word Jacob in chapter 36? I didn't see that either. Well, this chapter is about Esau. It's about Esau's family. And Esau's probably known best for his selling his birthright and losing his blessing. And this chapter is just about his genealogy. Now, why do we have this chapter at all? It's kind of just thrown in a story. It's just in the middle. It could have fell anywhere, but it fell right here. Why do we even have Esau's genealogy in here? Well, first of all, he was a son of Isaac. Okay? And then he was over the Edomites. And the Edomites were the neighbors of Israel. And the last thing I have is to show the promise of Abraham that he was to be the father of many nations. And now Esau was known by another name. He was known, what is that? Eden. Okay. And he was married. Okay, Eden means what? Same as Esau, the color red. Okay, now Esau was married at 40 years old, and he arranged his own marriages, which probably really didn't turn out too good. First, he was married to a Hittite. And anybody have any idea where the Hittites were from? Asia Minor. Turkey and Syria is where they were. They had, at one time, they had an empire that lasted 800 years. And they covered, I think they were only third to Egypt and Babylon. So, that, you know, you don't hear a whole lot about them. And his next marriage was to a Hivite. And the Hivites were just a branch of the Hittites. And then his other marriage was to an Egyptian woman. And all three of them were no-nos, because none of them were from his family. Okay, now we're going to go on to where, when Jacob comes back. When Jacob appears back, Esau has already left Canaan, and he's moved on to a place called Seir. And Seir is on the other side of the Red Sea of what is now known as Jordan, basically around what is called Petra. And he moved there with his wives, and it wasn't a fruitful land at all, but what had happened was that Esau, as his crop, his livestock had grown so big that he was in competition with the grazing land from the people that were there that already inhabited the land. So he had kind of had to move on whether he wanted to or not. And I kind of read a little bit that about Petra, where it was. Petra kind of grew rich because it was right on the trail of kind of like the Silk Trail. They called it the Spice Trail back then. And frankincense, myrrh, and spices, and they kind of merged right there and were distributed out. And these people made their money on taxing. They were taxing the merchandise that was coming through there. Okay, and if you kind of notice in the genealogy there that Esau's, it doesn't really go pretty far down on his genealogy. It just names his sons, and it names his grandsons. And then something else, it doesn't give you any history. It just tells you who they are. And his sons and grandsons were known as dukes. And they were probably military commanders. And something else we need to realize is that they live by the sword. And when you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Okay, something else down in chapter 12, it says, remember Amalek. And anybody remember what Amalek did? Okay, it says, God told Israel that they were to remember what Amalek did to them. Remember what Amalek did unto thee on thy way when you came forth out of Egypt, and you met thee on the way, and he smote the hindmost of thee, even all who were feeble and faint and weary, and he feared not God. That's Deuteronomy 25, 17, and 18. When the people were when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and they were going down, that when the Edomites wouldn't let them in, Amalek was going and attacking the rear end of the trail. He was getting the weak, the feeble, and the weary. Amalek cowardly attacked the feeble, the faint, and the weary stragglers of Israel as they came out of Egypt. He did not fear God. Amalek could not have been more ignorant of God and his mighty acts, especially blessing upon Israel, because of living in the same wilderness as his neighbors. He had hardened himself, rejected God and his dwellings, and became bitter enemies of both God and Israel. And going back to the dukes probably had numerous families. There were numerous dukes. They had numerous families. God promised that Jacob would multiply and enrich himself, and also that Esau would increase and enrich first. God's promise to Jacob came later, but it remained longer. These are the sons of Seir. In the midst of the genealogy of the Edomites, they insert the Horites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the natives of Mount Seir. And those are in there because Esau's sons intermarried with these people. And that's why they're in the genealogy. Okay, when I was looking reading some of this, and they called these people, the Horites, they called them troglodytes. You know, and you kind of hear that, you think, you know, caveman. Well, that's what they were. They lived in caves. I didn't realize that was just, I thought that was a ancient terminology, but that's just, they lived in caves. Okay, Esau's Edomites had been with the Horites so long that eventually they took over the whole thing. They just kind of intermarried with him and took over everything. Esau entered into alliances with the Hittites and his posterity and the sons of Seir were reckoned together. Said Edomites stood on the same ground as the accused Horites. Okay, the Edomites pushed out the Horites. Okay, I've got that. And when the king, okay, what? And something else they did was when they had kings that governed the whole country, well, they didn't go by the hierarchy. Just because you were king, that doesn't mean your son was going to be king. What they did is they had an election, and they elected the king. And if they didn't like the king, they got him out and elected somebody else. And they had a king long time before the Israelites had a king. Okay, Mount Seir is called the land of possessions for the Edomites, while the Israelites dwelled in the house of bondage, and their Canaan was only a dream and a promise. The Edomites dwelled in their own habitat. And Seir was in their promise. And the children of the world had all in hand, but nothing in hope. While the children of God had all in hope and nothing in hand. But all things considered, it was better to have Canaan as a promise than Seir as a possession. And speaking about living by the sword, now we all know who Nimrod is. Huh? We've heard of Nimrod. He was a king, and when they built the Tower of Babel. Okay, just to show how much Esau lived by the sword, I was reading and it said that Esau killed Nimrod with the sword. Now, I don't know how old Nimrod was or whatever it is, but the fact of it is he was killed with the sword by Esau. Okay, something else I'm going to go over here is, I would kind of notice if you read it, it says in verse 1, this is the genealogy of Esau, who is Edom. In verse 8, Esau is Edom. In verse 19, Esau, who is Edom. In verse 43, Esau is the father of the Edomites. When God repeats himself, he is often trying to convey an important message. He is reminding Israel not to forget about the Edomites who have come from Esau. To deal with them correctly, the Israelites would have to know the Edomites, who they were, and be prepared for the predictable and the unpredictable attacks that the Edomites would put on them. Edomites never would stop trying to take back what Esau had lost to Jacob. Okay, has any of you ever heard how Esau died? Said I was looking, and it said that he died in front of the caves of the Machpelah. I guess that's how you say it, I don't know. And see, if you have heard about Esau's twin brother, how he died, and I think Jacob as a man of spirit and Esau as a man of the flesh, I think it's interesting that Esau died suddenly after Jacob, and here's why. The actual death and burial of Jacob, and he was 147 years old, is in Genesis 50. So we're going to go ahead, where this is 36, I'm going to go into 50, and got to tell you the story to get there. And besides, I've got about 20 minutes to kill here. Okay, so I looked and I read chapter 50, and it tells about the funeral of Jacob. But it just kind of gives you an outline. It doesn't give you the whole story. It just gives you an outline. So I got to looking, and I went to the Jewish Bible. And in the book of Yasher. And it gave a little more detail. And I'll just go through that. Jacob was buried with great honors like a king. His sons carried his, it's called a bier, B-I-E-R. And that's kind of like, it's a platform with handles. It's kind of like a precursor to the handles on a casket. And you got to remember that Jacob was buried. I mean, he died in Egypt. So if you died in Egypt, that means that you went through the process of, the whole thing, the 70 days, the salt and drying you out and all this other things. So they went through all that. And then he had, here we go, said the sons, Jacob had told them how he wanted to be buried. I mean, how they wanted to carry him. He had three sons up front, he had three sons in the back, and he had three sons on each side. And kind of strangely, that's the same way that they camped in the wilderness around the tabernacle. Just like Jacob had told him to march him to where he was buried. Okay, the Pharaoh commanded that it should be proclaimed throughout Egypt, saying, whoever does not up with Joseph and his brethren to the land of Canaan to bury Jacob shall die. So Pharaoh was telling his people, you better go to the funeral. If you don't, they'll have one for you. And all of Egypt heard Pharaoh's proclamation, and they rose up together, and all the servants of Pharaoh and the elders of the house and all the elders of the land of Egypt went up with Jacob. Went up with Joseph. For all the officers, nobles, and Pharaoh went upon the servants of Joseph, and they went to bury Jacob in the land of Canaan. And Jacob's sons carried the bier on which he lay, according to their father's command. So they did as he said. And it goes on to describe what the thing looked like. It was pure gold and had stones inlaid and all this. And Joseph placed upon the head of his father, Jacob, a large crown, golden crown, and put the golden scepter in his hand, and they surrounded by the bier as a custom of the kings during the times that they lived. And all the troops of Egypt went before them in this array at first, all the mighty men of Pharaoh and the mighty men of Joseph after them and the rest of the inhabitants of Egypt. And they all gird with the sword and equipment and coats of mail and trappings of war were with them. So everybody that went, everybody had a sword. Everybody had their war equipment. They took it with them. And all the weepers and all the mourners went at the distance, weeping, and all the rest of the people went. And Joseph and his household went together near the bier, barefooted and weeping, and the rest of Joseph's servants were around him, and each man had his ornaments upon him, and they were all armed with their weapons. But when Esau heard that Jacob's sons were carrying him to be buried, he got his family together, and he said, it's not going to happen. He said, he's not going to be buried in this cave, because it belongs to me. Well, so what he didn't realize is that Jacob had explained to Joseph what they had done. When Jacob came down and his father died, they had a will made. And what it was that Jacob was to get the land and Esau was to get all the animals and money and everything else. And it was written down, it was witnessed, and it was signed. So when he said, well, we have papers to prove that we own this land. Well, so they sent, I think it's Naphtali or Naphtali or whatever his name is. He said, well, he said, he's the fastest one of the bunch. So they sent him back and said, look, you go back and pick up the paperwork. And as soon as he left, Esau's people attacked. Well, which wasn't a very smart thing to start off with because he had the whole Egyptian army. Everybody was armed. So they had a big fight. And, you know, right off the hand, 40 people from Esau died. Right off the hand. Well, in the midst of the battle, one of Dan's sons, I think his name is Cushim, he was a deaf kid. He didn't, I don't know, he was deaf and dumb here. He really didn't understand what was going on in the midst of the battle. So he said, what's going on? He said, well, they won't let us bury you. So what he did is he's looking and he sees Esau in the midst of the battle. He sees Esau, and he runs up to Esau, and he cuts his head off. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. So when the family realized that Esau had been killed, well, they picked up his body, and they headed back towards Edom. But they forgot the head. So Esau's head eventually rolls into the cave. So they took it, you know, so now there were more battles after this. And, well, what they did is they finally went in and they buried Jacob. You know, they did all that. And there was more battles after that. And eventually the Edomites took the territory. And they won the first battle. Okay, then years later, now they're over in Petra, which is, you know, you've heard about the Nabataeans. They owned Petra. They ran Petra. Eventually, the Nabataeans ran Edomites out. Okay, and then later on, Saul fought the Edomites. And then David fought the Edomites. And eventually the Edomites were down on the bottom of Judea. And then there was a bunch called the Maccabees. I think his name was Matthias Maccabee. Well, during that time, what they had done was, the Maccabees kind of had a revolution when... See, what's that? The Greeks had taken over, and they had defiled the temple. They wanted to put a statue of Zeus in the temple and all this. So the Maccabees rose up, and the Maccabee is a name called, it's a name for hammer, because what they did is they started conquering, and when they started conquering, they didn't want to quit. They took all that territory back and took everything, and when they got to where the Edomites were, they gave them a choice. They said, either you become a Jew or you die. Well, most of them became Jews, and they were known as Idumeans. And probably one of the most Idumeans we know is King Herod the Great was an Idumean. He was an Edomite that converted to Judaism, and those were called Idumeans. And we know that Herod rebuilt the second temple, and eventually the Idumeans just kind of vanished over time. God had foretold the destruction of Edomites. Ezekiel 35 says, as you have rejoiced upon the inheritance of the house of Israel because of its desolation, So I will deal with you. You shall be dissolved. Mount Seir and all of Edom, all of it. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 35:15. Despite Edom's constant effort to rule over Jews, God's presence to Rebekah was fulfilled. The elder child served the younger. And Israel proved stronger than Edom. And that's really basically all I have. So we got a few minutes to... Is there any questions that you want to ask or did I just zoom on by you? Okay. That was Esau, yeah. He said, well, he's buried there today. No, they took the body back. But they forgot the head in their haste.
So the head was in the cave.
The head was in the cave.
Lost his head.
Well, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. All right. All right, that's all I have.